This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We turn now to one of the major national debates. How do we fix America's immigration system? With 11 to 12 million undocumented immigrants in this country, the question is crucial. Today on Stateside, we're going to explore one of the complicated aspects of this debate, that of mixed status families, where someone in the family is undocumented while others are U.S. citizens. Joining me today is David Kelsch. David is an immigration lawyer, and he's a professor at the University of Detroit Mercy Law School. Welcome, David.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
And Cindy Garcia is an auto worker. She's an American citizen. Her husband was born in Mexico and has been living in this country as an undocumented immigrant for decades. Cindy, good to have you. And I'm really glad you're both here in the studio. It's good to see you both.
Thank you. Thanks.
David, I want to start with you. How has this issue of mixed status families affected the national debate?
Sure. I think, you know, oddly, it's a horrible tragedy, frankly, and a national shame. But looking on the bright side, I think it really has reframed the debate. I mean, things are finally looking like something might happen in immigration reform this year in Washington. You know, we'll see. We're all waiting to exhale, the people who want it. But I think the mixed sort of status families are the ones who are really driving it, in addition to the dreamers, the young immigrants who came here at a fairly young age. Those two groups of people are really driving it because – you know, you can talk about the 8 to 11 million undocumented immigrants, but that's just it's the pebble in the pond effect.
Yes.
You know, all of those people, you know, have loved ones, people they care about, employers. So it has a much broader effect in our society and our economy beyond just those people.
And when this all came up the last time when Congress last tried and failed to pass immigration overhaul in 2007, I don't remember, am I right, as much of a focus on mixed status families. It's a different kind of debate this time.
It really is. And frankly, I'm not sure really what the shift is. I really give a lot of credit to people like Cindy and the Dreamers who really got out there. You know, the political elite sort of failed us in 2006, 2007, unfortunately. But it's people like Cindy, it's people like the Dreamers who are really out in the streets and pushing this issue and lobbying over and over again, even in the sort of the dark years when things weren't looking very good. Mm-hmm. They were still out there working with public officials and sort of broadening the public space on this so people don't demagogue undocumented immigrants as much as they did before.
Cindy Garcia, tell us your family's story. When did your husband come from Mexico to America?
He came to the United States when he was 10 years old.
Brought by his parents.
He was brought by his parents. He went to elementary school, middle school, and high school and graduated. From then, they were in Chicago. Mm-hmm. They were looking for work. He couldn't find any there. Some family had already moved here to Michigan, so he came here to live with them. His parents followed. From there, we met in 2002, got married, have a daughter. And then 2004 is when we decided to fix his status.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that time, everything was going good. Then in 2008, we were told no, that he had to go back to his country, that he was illegally here. He had committed a crime. We had fought to keep him here.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the lawyer that we had took $50,000, and we lost our house to short sale, and we had to find a new lawyer. And it is very, very, very hard to find a new lawyer at that point of time in that process, because nobody wants to pick it up because they know it's a lost cause already. There's nothing more anybody can do. But our lawyer picked it up, and she ran with it as far as she could. And he is still here, 2013, and we're still fighting to keep him here.
What do you think happened when you said you started off in 2004, Cindy, and things looked pretty promising? What do you think happened to blow that all out of the water by 2008?
The thing was, he had entered the country illegally. The law had changed in 2002, but nobody paid attention at that time. So that's what triggered it.
So it's 2013. He is still here. But so where do things stand now? Where are you at?
We're starting all over again with a whole new process. And we're filing a new form that has to be sent out to immigration. But because he's still here, we can't file the second form that goes with it. So we don't know if it's going to be able to stand alone or not.
This sounds, David, like a complete catch-22.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, as the fact that an immigration lawyer was in some sense to blame for this is really sort of disheartening to me. I mean, some Some people build cars. Some people build houses. I build lawyers, and in particular immigration lawyers. Mm-hmm. And I take my job very seriously, and I like to think that the lawyers we're producing are very good and ethical and know what they're doing. Unfortunately, this lawyer didn't. Fortunately, she's also not one of my former students or one of our graduates, okay. But that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But it really is a shame. And Cindy's story really shows in a system that's so convoluted and so confusing that having, you know, the right or the wrong lawyer can make all the difference in the world because, you know, the average person, I mean, Cindy and her husband are smart people.
Yeah.
They can't figure this thing out. It's like alchemy. It's like spells and things like that. So having a sharp lawyer who really knows what they're doing is makes all the difference in the world.
We're talking about the immigration debate, particularly focusing on mixed status families where someone in the family is undocumented and the rest of the family are U.S. citizens. We're talking with David Kelsch, who's an immigration lawyer and also a professor at the University of Detroit Mercy Law School, and Cindy Garcia, who is an American citizen and auto worker. Her husband, born in Mexico and has been living in this country as an undocumented immigrant for decades, and they've been fighting since 2004 to get it fixed. And Cindy, I guess, take us back to you met your husband, you've got a family. What is he working now, and how is it all, what's life like today?
As of last year, he was working, but because of so much publicity that we had to put on the case, so much work that you have to put into fighting, mm-hmm. that I was like, you know what? Eventually they're going to fire you, so it's better if you quit now. Mm. There is no choice right now. So he explained it to his lawyer and said, I have to do this. I have to do this. Where he's working at now, his boss understands the situation and has said, I'm here for you. Whatever you need, I need you here as a worker. Okay. Because you are a good worker, he goes, I can't afford to lose you. Okay. But we're still struggling. We're still trying to do what we can and push forward the movement and encourage people, because I'm not the only one in the United States that are facing this with one person being here, mm-hmm. in the United States. And I get phone calls and I try to encourage women and men and say, keep going. Do not give up the fight. You are here in the United States. Your children are U.S. It's up to you if you want to go. I can't tell you yes. I can't tell you no. That's a choice you and your family have to make. But I am here for you if you need the support. I can get you to whatever type of support, mental, physically, emotional. I am here for you. I can take you to, you know, shelters. I can take you to food. I can take you wherever. Just yeah. lean to me.
What about for within your home? You've got a daughter. What is that like just with this cloud hanging over your head?
I think it's affecting more my little one, who's 7, mm-hmm. who's a junior, because he actually will wake up and say, where's my daddy, in the middle of the night.
You have how many children?
I have 3. I have okay. an 18-year-old, which is Jorge's stepson. Mm-hmm. And then I have my daughter, Soleil, who's 10, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And then my son, who's 7. But it affects him more because even in his schoolwork, he's going backwards. Mm. And it takes a toll on his education because he's always worried. Even when he's at home, where's my daddy? Where's my daddy? Mm-hmm. Where's my daddy? What time is my daddy coming home? Have you talked to my daddy today? Call my daddy. I'm like, call your daddy. What about me? He's like, nope, I want to know about my daddy. You're always home. I don't have to worry about you. But they do see a psychiatrist because I told them, you got to tell her things that you can't tell me. Mm-hmm. So I step out of the room and she says it's hard to try to pull things out of them because sometimes they don't feel comfortable and it's hard for them.
Yeah. I want to look at the political side of this. And David, you did kind of put it very well that very clearly that you feel that America's leaders let people down in 2006, 2007. Certainly there seems to be a shift in Congress with regard to the immigration question. There's now that bipartisan group of senators drawing up legislation. Is this stemming from last November's election and now the GOP realizes that it has to have an image that's broader than comfortable old white men? Are they now understanding the power of the Hispanic vote and can that move the meter here?
Well, I think they are. But I think that's been a bit overplayed in the media. When you look at immigration reform, there are really two components to it. One is the family side of it, which affects Cindy and Jorge and millions of other people across the United States, which is important. But there's also the business side of it. The employment-based immigration system is a mess. We're trying to run a 21st century economy with a 19th century immigration system. So companies like Microsoft, General Motors, the other big 3 auto suppliers, they're all pushing for immigration reform because they need it to run their businesses. In a global economy, the system we have right now on the business side just is dysfunctional. So now you sort of have the kind of the perfect storm where you have brave people like Cindy and Jorge who are really kind of leading the charge on this on the moral ground. But then you also have the employers. And it's everybody from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to, major businesses like Microsoft and other big companies coming together to say, yeah, we need this. I mean, the devil's in the details. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it's going to really play out. But things are looking pretty good.
And what are your hopes and expectations for this this group of bipartisan senators? Mm-hmm. I mean, number one, bipartisan. Gee. Are we actually seeing Democrats and Republicans right. sitting down to agree on something? What are your hopes or worries about that?
My hopes are that they'll actually really, as they're crafting this, is they won't forget about people like Cindy and Jorge. In the push to compromise, in the push to have some sort of bipartisan bill come through Congress and have President Obama sign it, that they won't pare it down too much. I'm all for bipartisanship, but I'm also all for standing up for people like Cindy and Jorge. Mm-hmm. I guess my message to them is don't be afraid to tackle the tough issues. These are real families that are involved, real kids who are suffering, and they need to have a future ahead of them.
Cindy, would your hope be full citizenship or would a green card status do?
I would want full citizenship for my husband because we've been fighting for so long. And it's not just for me that I would be saying that, but for the other families who cannot come out of the shadows and come out and speak. That is their dream too. Them children, even if they were brought here as an infant, they know no other country but the United States. So to them, that's what they want. That's exactly what they want, is they want citizenship because they don't know Mexico. Mm-hmm. They know the United States. They wake up every day. They go to school. They pledge allegiance to the American flag. Some of them don't even speak the language, and you want to send them back? These poor children are confused.
And David, spell out for us what you see are some of the other major misconceptions that you hear about undocumented immigrants?
Well, I think the whole, what it really comes down to for a lot of people is the fact that people did break the law to enter the United States. And yes, that's right. That is, and I'm not excusing that. People make choices. Sometimes people make, it's the wrong choice for a lot of people. And some people even regret making that choice because of all the unintended consequences that it caused for them and their families. But the fact that somebody made a choice to come to the United States, whether it's the right or the wrong choice, they've been here in this country and they've been contributing, and they have not been, drawing on the social service programs, certainly not to the extent that U.S. citizens do. So they have been paying into the system to tag them and to ruin their lives for one bad decision. It really is unfair. When they've really been, in many ways, sort of the backbone of the U.S. economy.
And I guess we have to talk about people like Jorge. He was 10. What was he supposed to do? When your mom and dad say, we're going, what was a 10-year-old supposed to do?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. For so long, undocumented immigrants, especially people who entered the United States illegally, have really been demagogued. And I don't know if it's the whole, sort of the war on terror and amped up national security and all this kind of stuff, but it's really sort of thrown a lot of people into this pot of maximum security, maximum enforcement. I think finally, on the bright side, the mood is changing. The political winds are blowing in the right direction. I think, brave people like Cindy and Jorge and other people, the Dreamers, have really changed the national conversation about this topic. And you don't – I mean, certainly you have the haters out there. You'll always have the haters. I think generally, if you look at some of the polling data, the middle of America has really shifted to being much more understanding and getting the nuances of the choices that people made and how we can sort of come together and heal as a country, which is really what this is all about. It's, how can we have a country when we have 8 to 10 million people who are undocumented? We have to heal that wound, and this is a way to do it.
David, in for what you're hearing as far as, and I know we have not heard yet the plan that's been drawn up by this bipartisan group of senators, but from what you're hearing, would it be your sense that there would be